This is a part two of the one I did earlier. I believe that was in December about taking God's name in vain. But this is going on beyond just using it in profanity. If you'll turn to Isaiah 29, which you might want to keep a marker there because we will go back to 29 a little bit later. If you go to Isaiah 29 and verse 13. Therefore, the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. And then Jesus quotes this in Matthew 15:8. Don't need to turn there, but these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You can take God's name in vain when you use it to teach things that are not from God, but attach his name to it. Sincere preachers had led people down a path of fear and seeing God as a harsh taskmaster in order to keep them coming to church. For many generations, a doctrine of ever-burning, torturing hell of fire has been used to keep people in fear of God rather than in awe. When I was looking stuff up, I pulled up false teachings. And one thing said false preachers. So I clicked on it, and it showed the picture of, you know, the ones we probably all are thinking right now in our heads. And then it had a list, and it had bold letters A through Z. It had names under each one. So I done us a favor, and I checked to make sure none of our names was on there. And none of them were, so we're good. We didn't even make honorable mention or anything. But just wanted to make sure. Now if we'll turn to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, and we'll read verses 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Some teach that you are lost if you do not believe in the Trinity, a rapture, or an immortal soul doctrine, when none of these are taught in the Bible. Some teach that Jesus is a created being which denies his majesty from the beginning. The Apostle Paul spoke of another Jesus being taught, even back at the start of the church. There is a Jesus being taught that says he does not judge or condemn anyone's actions. This is a quote from one person that put this on social media. The second death has nothing to do with people dying. It's a death of wrong beliefs. The death that sin brings isn't physical death either. Paul teaches all mankind died when Jesus died and were resurrected a new creation. From God's perspective, sin no longer exists. Paul also said the same thing, that said the same as all that died in Adam will be made alive in Christ. I didn't know anyone quite believed all that, but in Revelation 2:11, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. If the second death of wrong beliefs, as the man says, how could you be hurt by it? And Revelation also says second death is a punishment of those cast in the lake of fire. How are you made alive in Christ? It is only through repentance, baptism, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. What are the fruits of the Spirit that permeates most of the world? Certainly not the ones that come from God's Spirit, but instead those that come from lawlessness. How does the Bible define sin? 1 John 3:4 tells us whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Most teach that the law is done away with. And this applies to all the Sabbaths. The Bible also clearly says that the soul that sins, which is lawlessness, will die, not being punished forever in a fiery torment, and that the gift of God is eternal life that we are not born with. The second death certainly is death. It is a death without a promise of a resurrection. They did not understand that Christ paid for the penalty for us, but as he said to those he forgave while on earth, go and sin no more. It is so clear that what he is saying in Isaiah and then repeated by Jesus Christ, that they honor him with their lips, but they do not have the heart to obey. If you turn to John 8:58, read 58 and 59. Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. 59. Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so he passed by. They're going to stone him for saying, I am. And they spoke, he was the I am who spoke to Moses. Many times in the Old Testament, he is referred to as an angel of the Lord. But this is not saying he was a created angel. Angel means messenger. And the pre-incarnate Jesus was the Word of God, as it states in John 1:1. The Word was God, and the Word was with God from the beginning, when it was said, let us make man in our image and likeness. Jesus repeatedly said that he was sent to do the will of the Father. Jesus permitted people to worship him. Jesus told people their sins were forgiven. Too many references in the Bible go in this brief message show created angels in the Bible were not to be worshiped, did not permit themselves to be worshiped, never claimed to have the power to forgive sin. Only God can forgive sin. If you go back to Isaiah 29 and start in verse 14, and we'll go down to verse 16. Therefore, behold, I will again do a marvelous work among the people, a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hidden. Woe to those who seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. They say, who sees us, and who knows us? Surely you have things turned around. Shall the potter be esteemed as the clay? For shall the thing made say to him who made it, he did not make me? Or shall the thing formed say of him who formed it, he has no understanding? These people in our world who think they are all powerful and that God either approves or does not see their work of darkness have it all turned around. Mark 4:22, for there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. This has been a long road leading to using the name of Christ in vain. It started even in the writings of the New Testament church, turning to another Jesus, and continue with this, with days considered holy. They have not been set apart by God and ignoring the ones they have. You can't put Christ back into Christmas because he's never there, never belonged there. Easter is not a celebration of the resurrection of Jesus, but instead the fertility ritual of eggs and bunnies and sunrise services, worshiping the sun that they have come down through the ages from the Babylonian mystery religion. We are now entering a time when all vestiges of true religion are being replaced with doctrines of lawlessness. I'm going to read from Romans 1, starting in verse 18, go through 27. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God to manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible men, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged in natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of the error which was due. Many years ago, a doctrine of a harsh Old Testament God being replaced by a Jesus that did it all for you, as long as you just say you believe, has led to the lawlessness we now see in almost all churches and in the population of the world in general. They not honor and set in awe of the great incorruptible God, but teach he is out of touch with where mankind is today. They are advocating an absolute lawlessness and no accountability for anything. And in the days of Noah, their foolish hearts are only on doing evil continually and using the name of our Lord and Savior to justify it. This is the ultimate in disrespecting God.